Happy Sabbath, brethren, and good morning to the brethren on the web hookup. My title is, God wants us to grow and become spiritually ripe. God wants us to grow and become spiritually ripe. In my bag here I've brought is two mangoes. One real green mango is still developing, is still maturing. And the other mango, multicolored mango, is ripe. Let me show you how we're going to compare those mangoes to our life today, brethren. If I asked you which one you'd rather eat, you would probably say the multicolored one. The one that looks the most ripe, right? Well, how many of you have ever picked a mango for a tree and ate it? Some of them fall to the ground and they die. Or have you ever bought a green mango at the store and had to wait for it to ripen up before you could eat it? Because you don't want to eat an unripened mango, because, brother, it just doesn't taste very good. And you might have to throw it away. Let's think about how each one of us, how God picked each one of us today, brethren, to be in this church, and how we're to become more spiritually ripe as we go along our Christian journey in this world today. Sometimes we have to go through some dark, dreary trials. We're low. We're depressed because we have to go through those trials. But we know that God is always there for us. And he wants what is best for us now and in the future. And how can we know that, brethren? Come with me to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. We'll read verse 1 through 6 here. And I'll read this from the New International Version. Jeremiah 29, verse 1 through 6, verse 1. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So it was written to some of the children of Israel that had been carried off to a foreign country. Let's read on now, verse 4 through 6. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I've carried in exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Verse 6, marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so they too may have sons and daughters. And it says, increase in number there. Do not decrease. I find it interesting here that after what had happened to the children of Israel in Egypt, they grew in numbers. And they believed they would be delivered one day by God and a servant of God. Let's read what else God tells the people here in Jeremiah to do in their captivity. Verse 7. Also seek the peace and the prosperity of the city of which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. God is telling them to pray for peace and prosperity in their captive city. And then he tells them he has not forgot about them. Let's read verse 10 and 11 now. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come back to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. Verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Brethren, we started out today with these scriptures here in Jeremiah to show that God wants to deliver us from captivity in this world that is ruled right now by Satan the devil and gives us a hope and gives us a future with him and his family in the world tomorrow. So, brethren, when we go through trials and we feel like we're in this dark place and God has left us, some of us feel that way sometimes because we're so low and depressed. We can read and know what we're being tested for a reason. Brother, each one of us are being tested for the future. We must realize that. We are being tried to help us become more spiritually ripe too. And that we will be delivered just as the children of Israel have been over and over in our Bible. So in the time remaining, let's look at four things that can help us become more spiritually ripe. Number one, this is the most important, especially when we're talking about Christians in the church today. Number one, we need to have a solid foundation and good soil to grow spiritually. We need to have a solid foundation and a good soil to grow spiritually. Brother, everything depends on how and where we begin our spiritual journey. We may have started by coming to church with our family, and by listening to the word spoken at services on the Sabbath and the holy days. Then later we became interested and started reading and studying the Bible on our own. Because, brethren, it's not possible to become spiritually ripe if we do not study the written word of God on a daily basis. This is what helps us, each one of us, become spiritually ripe and grounded in the truth. Come with me to Mark 4. Mark 4. Read some verses here from the parable of the sower. We know that Jesus was preaching to a great multitude in verse 1 through 9 about a farmer who went out into his field to spread seed. And what happened to the seed when it was planted on different types of ground? But then the disciples asked him why. Why he spoke in parables? Because some of the people didn't understand what he was saying here. Let's read Mark 4 and beginning 13. I'll read this from the New Living Translation. Then Jesus said to them, "If you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables?" Let's read on now in 14 through 17. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that falls on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. Verse 16, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receives it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have a problem or are persecuted for believing God's word. Well, brethren, this happened to some of the first century church after Jesus Christ was crucified. And it's happening to the church in the last century too, hasn't it? Let's read on now, verse 18 through 20. The seed that falls among the thorns represents others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lures of wealth, and the desires for other things, so no fruit is produced. Verse 20. And the seed that falls on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produces a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as have been planted. Brethren, what seed and harvest do we want to be part of? Of course, the seed that is planted on good soil that produces a good harvest. But how do we get there and not fall away or dry up or get choked up with the cares of this very sick world we all live in? We know that we need a good foundation of the knowledge and the truth that is within our Bible, brethren, and what is taught to us each week. Then we have to take that seed of the truth and to put and keep it in our minds and heart and help others also. We're here today, brethren, sitting in God's church because of those who came before us. They helped plant the seed of the truth that we picked up on and came in the church because of that. We're part of their harvest, brethren. And we are to help keep that harvest going by spreading the gospel message and prepare a people too. So after the good foundation and a good soul, what comes next to help us become spiritually mature? Number two is to take in a combination of good nutrition. Well, this may sound complicated or weird, but it's really not, brethren. Just like a plant needs sunshine and water and a good soil to thrive and grow, each one of us do, brethren. Each one of us do too. We can and should be enjoying our time with God right now, reading His Word, praying to Him and thanking Him for our blessings, and praying for one another too. But we know there is more to it than just reading the Word of God, brethren. We must be living it and sharing it with others too. There's a lot of people that needs our prayer and love and concern and visits right now, aren't there? A lot. Well, I recently got a message from a widow, and she was asking me and my wife to come and visit her again. And we're going to do that very soon. She shouldn't have to ask for us to visit her, brother. It should be something we do on our own regular basis, go and visit the widows and stuff. We all can help and lift one another up in prayer and contact too. We can also come together on the Sabbath day, the holy days, and have pleasant fellowship with other believers of like mind. We've heard this many times, by letting our light shine, showing outgoing love and concern for each other. That can help us grow and mature also. You can look in Matthew 5, verse 14. It says, "You are the light of the world." Brother, that's you. You're the light of the world. We are to let our light shine and help others know and trust God the way that we do. But we came from within, brethren, such as becoming overly ripe and rotten. So therefore, we must protect ourselves from the world itself and the rule of this world and the sins of this world too, brethren. I think you all know where I'm going next with this point, and that we need to put on the armor of God each and every day and pray that God will give us the Holy Spirit to protect us from the inside, brethren. We got to get it out, inside and out. We can look at Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Let's drop down to verse 18 now. I'd like to read it from the New Living Translation again as it translates the Apostle's word to us today. Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion." How many times things come at us all the time, brethren? And we got to pray about that. It says, "Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." God was telling them and us, brethren, to not only put on the armor of God, but pray in the Spirit and pray for all believers everywhere. Brethren, we can also avoid any teaching that is contrary to the doctrines that we've all been taught and believed in all these years. Don't read it, brethren. Don't listen to it. Stay away from it, brethren. 2 Timothy 4. Come with me there. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Once again, I'll read it from the New International Version. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. Says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, And in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Verse 3, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itchy ears want to hear. Verse 4, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. By not having itching ears, brethren, following God and His Son, Jesus Christ, as our example, we can become spiritually ripe enough to help others right up to that time Jesus Christ returns to this earth in glory and honor to rule with Him forever. Just like these two mangoes here, brethren, they both grew on a tree. They were picked. They were still green. And one of them I put inside a paper bag that helped ripen it up faster than the one that was not put in the dark. By just looking at them, brethren, you would guess this multicolored one right here was ripe and is ready to eat. You see, when I hold it in my hand and squeeze it just a little bit, I can still feel it's hard, and it needs more time to develop and ripen up even more. Let's look at point number 4, brother. We have to act spiritually mature inside and out. We have to act spiritually mature inside and out. We can't just pretend to be Christians and have a pretty shiny outward appearance. This is why we need to take a good look at ourselves, brethren. Not no one else, ourselves. On an ongoing basis, and make sure that we are becoming what God and Jesus Christ wants each one of us to become. We have to be living a spiritual ripe life and let our light shine and give God the glory, brethren. When we truly begin to understand what God has done for each one of us, brethren, by calling us out of this very sick world, we are encouraged to keep growing and maturing. That's what God wants, brethren. Wants us to grow. We do not feel like we're still growing and maturing today, right now, then we can look at ourselves and use our elder brother, Jesus Christ, as our measuring stick and figure out how we become more like Him and especially less like people out in this world. Come with me to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, this is part of the letter the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he is encouraging them not to be like the world. 1 Corinthians 3, and let's read verse 1 through 3 here. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. We know Paul is talking about the messages that he was giving them in that time and day, and it can also be met for us today, brethren. Verse 3, for you are still carnal. For where they are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? They were hearing these messages, brethren, yet they still behave like people out in this world that don't like to be told what to do, that have a major attitude. Let's read on verse 5 through 12. As Paul tells them about the work that he was trying to do and how they could help themselves to grow. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 11, from the New International Version again, it says, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, though, whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Verse 7, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Paul repeats that God is the one who makes things grow. He wanted them to majorly understand this. Verse 8 and 9, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. They will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's fields, God's building. Isn't it interesting here, brother? These verses are very similar to the parable of the sower. The Apostle Paul has built his message upon these verses and used them to inspire the brethren at Corinth and to us, brethren. Verse 10, By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. In verse 10, Paul gives God the credit and states that Paul was using him to help build something in each one of them, just like he is working in building in each one of us today, brother. Verse 11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul spoke and wrote encouraging the brethren to keep growing and maturing. He also encouraged them to remember that one day they were going to have the opportunity to teach others the things they have been taught, just like we can, brother. God will be using you as teachers and examples because of all what you've seen, what you've done, and what you have learned, brethren, all these years. If we overcome the world right now and learn our spiritual lesson and mature like we're supposed to and keep living God's way of life, we can do this by reading, looking forward to being a part of God's family in the world tomorrow, and by praying for our own spiritual growth and that for others too. In Ephesians 3, verse 14, it says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. God wants you to grow, brethren. God wants you to mature. Paul wrote about all the things that God did for the church in his time. He also wrote about praying for the church spiritually maturity and looking ahead to the destiny and the reward that truly mature Christians would see in the world tomorrow. And before Jesus Christ faced his trial and crucifixion, he prayed for the church and the members. While he was on this earth as a physical human being, he prayed for us to hear the gospel message, then grow in unity and hear the gospel message and become spiritually mature, brethren. Grow. And keep that message going until he returns to this earth again. If we're going to grow and become spiritually mature, brethren, we must pray for others and then ourselves. And for other believers become spiritually mature too. Brethren, our goal is to be with Jesus Christ in the world tomorrow, where we will see him in all his glory. Our Father in Jesus Christ wants us to succeed and be there, and then to teach and help other human beings become spiritually mature. But first, we must become more mature ourselves. Let's turn to my last scripture, brethren, Philippians 3. Come with me to Philippians 3. Philippians 3 here. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Philippi and encouraging them to remain faithful and become spiritually mature and remember what is truly, truly important. He kind of fits it all together here in Philippians. Philippians 3, and let's read this whole chapter. Listen to what it says, brother. I'll read this from the New Living Translation again. It says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil. For we who worship by the Spirit are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Jesus Christ has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. He was very proud of that. Verse 6 through 9. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and for righteousness I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were gains to me, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the far greater value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Verse 9, and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. In verse 9, brethren, this is a very important point. Apostle Paul wanted Christians to realize in his time and for us today. Verse 10 through 15. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I wanted to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I pressed on to possess that perfection for which Jesus Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I have focused on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. It says, if you disagree on some points, I believe God will make it plain to you. Let's finish up now in 16 through 21 now. It says, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have often told you before, and I saw it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many who conduct shows they are real enemies of the cross of Christ. They're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. Listen to verse 20 and 21 now, brethren. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything underneath his control. The scriptures really sum it up, brethren. This is what being a spiritual, mature Christian is really all about. And like verse 21 says, when we're changed to spirit beings, then we will really know and feel what it means to be spiritually mature. Until that happens, we're still becoming spiritually ripe. And we are to be helping with the harvest and growing. Enjoying the rest of your Sabbath, brother.